Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation. Text 0868104106. Can I just start, if you don't mind, just with an observation? If you're inside in town at all these days, of course, it's a beautiful city. When the sun shines, it's even more beautiful. But it's amazing what I observed yesterday. I pass it on for what it's worth, particularly with regards to your own thoughts. I was walking down Oliver Plunkett Street at lunchtime, and lo and behold, just as I got to the GPO, round about, I don't know, half one, kind of 20 to 2, you see the most amazing sight. I just was walking past the GPO, open drug dealing right outside the door, in plain sight. I'm assuming there were things like heroin baggies or crack cocaine. It was this young girl, she's doling out the drugs with another fella standing next to her. I don't know whether he was just chatting with her or minding her. I have no idea in the wide earthly world. Well, there's a constant stream of people going back and forth, obviously, people going about their business and what have you. And every now and then you'd see a young guy, because what I saw was young guys. There was a bunch of them standing away on kind of up Winthrop Street area. They were just standing there, perhaps just waiting their turn. That's what it looked like to me. And then a guy would walk up, and this girl would be chatting away to your man next to her, and then her hand would go inside her jacket, and out would come whatever. I'm assuming it was a small little bag. The hand would go out, and there would be a swap. Little bag would be given, and money would be taken. It was absolutely bizarre to see. I mean, like, and this apparently is very, very regular. I don't know, is Thursday a social welfare payment day for quite an amount of people? Is that when there's a lot of cash around? I mean, we've heard in the past then of people standing outside, for instance, post offices. And people are going in to get dole or welfare, and they're coming out and they're paying back dealers, and dealers are holding on to their social welfare cards and identification because they owe their dealers. And this is all in plain sight. Now, you could say that you wouldn't be seeing much of this these days because there's a lot more foot patrols, some members of an Garda Síochána who are walking on the beat. But there was none around yesterday anyway, certainly not in that area. And I don't know whether it's a case that there were in other places, but this is a place where you really would want somebody all of the time because this is in plain sight with absolutely no issues whatsoever from the point of view of fear or apprehension about being caught or arrested. It just struck me as nuts. Can anybody explain it? Right in plain sight. And many people would say, well, like, these people should be lifted like that and, processed quickly into court and banged up. It's in plain sight. It was like as if I was watching somebody collecting for share or a charity in plain sight. But anyway, your thoughts are welcome on that. Text 0868104106. But somebody says to me, I was listening to your conversation today with the lady who lives in the suburbs here in Cork, concerns about the increased drugs being taken and dealt with in, dealing going on in the suburbs and parks. I sympathise with people living in those areas where antisocial activity is happening. I've lived in Cork City Centre for 30 years, and for many years I've witnessed daily antisocial activity from individuals addicted to these drugs. Every day we pass groups and individuals addicted to drugs and open drug dealing in the streets and the parks. Open. We're all sympathetic for these unfortunate people addicted to drugs, but your call, well, it wasn't my call. I just brought up the topic again of the injection centre of the city. I can tell you it's not the solution. Residents living in the city centre like us have gladly seen a reduction in open drug dealing and antisocial behaviour since the increased Garda activity. But I know that businesses in the city centre have praised the increased Garda presence as well with regards to antisocial behaviour or robbing. An injection centre would attract drug dealers into the area and increase the antisocial behaviour surrounding drug taking. The correct location would be in the grounds of a city hospital. The individuals then addicted could be provided with a wraparound support service if an injection centre was on hospital grounds. We're lucky in Cork City that our hospitals are all served by many bus routes. Drug addicts are also provided with support services in the areas that they come from. So why attract individuals into the city centre, which will lead to more problems for businesses, visitors and us city centre residences? Residents or hospitals are the logical location for these to obtain the support they need. And that's from Kate, who lives in the city centre and probably sees an awful lot more than I do. But that's what I saw yesterday in plain sight. And like, unfortunately, when you are in town, you do see people. And you know what's alarming, actually, is the very young age they are that clearly, or let me put it this way, they're very down on their luck in life. That you can be sure. Anyway, your thoughts are welcome on that. Text 0868 104 106. Can I chat to Craig, if you don't mind? Because he reached out yesterday for help And it's actually quite a sad story for any family. But Craig, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Thanks for having me online.
Not at all, man. Not at all. I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken when I was reading your story yesterday about your 13-year-old son Rory, who passed away only like it's so recent, only 7 months ago.
7 months ago, the 21st of September, Neil. Yeah.
And your other son, Paddy, has the same condition, and his is also worsening.
Yes, it's Friedreich's ataxia. Basically, it's a progressive causing nerve tissue degeneration in the spinal cord. Paddy was diagnosed 3.5 years ago, and he's walking abilities are getting worse. We got the house adopted for the wheelchair friendly. He can only walk 20 minutes, and he looks after that. He just looks like a boy that's after drink, wobbling.
How old is he?
He's 15 now. He'll be 16 next month.
And was that the same with Rory?
Neil, genetics, it's Rory wasn't showing any symptoms as the walking, but his lower left muscle was thickened in his heart, and he was in COH, and everything was, you know, he was going up there every couple of months. The Saturday, he was playing a match against Greenwood in a cup game. Normal day, Neil, watched the Man United versus Chelsea that evening, had his favourite fish and chips, went to bed with his music on. I went in the next morning after I came back from shopping, and the music was still on, but unfortunately he wasn't with us anymore.
My God, Craig. Oh my God. What a nightmare.
Yeah, it was complete shock, and that's just starting, you know. The boy's mom, she was diagnosed with Huntington's disease, and she's no longer with us. She's in Dublin in Bloomfield Hospital.
You described her as once vibrant and the rock of the family with advanced stages of Huntington's.
Yes, that's right, yes.
How are you coping?
I'm not, but I have to. You know, there's bills still coming in. The world doesn't wait for you. It moves on.
And what's the prognosis for is it Delia?
Della.
What's the problem?
Basically, Huntington's it's pretty much the worst disease you could ever get.
Is it?
Yes. It's dementia, motor neuron, and Parkinson's all in one.
Nobody deserves this in a family. No family deserves this. Heartache.
No. It's been really, really, really difficult. And I always kind of felt, okay, look, I'll have the boys at home. We'll get through it. Again, if it was any of the two, probably you would have thought it would have been Paddy, because it was just worse with him. But no, unfortunately, little Rory,
7 months ago. Oh my God.
7 months ago. And 21st of September, yeah.
Just before Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Paddy is in a wheelchair now, is he?
Yes, we got the wheelchair last week. He can only walk 20 minutes, Neil, and that's about it. And then he has to go into the wheelchair. As I said, he looks like a boy after 20 minutes. It's basically what it is. It's a nerve tissue generation in the spinal cord, and it's just the nerves are shutting down in his legs. He can no longer write.
Scoliosis, things like that.
Yeah. He can no longer write. He's doing his junior cert this year. As I said, he can no longer write. The swallowing will be difficult with him. His speech, you can already see a slight thing in his speech.
And do you mind?
And basically he can't really stand straight. He just loses his balance.
Okay.
So he goes a little bit wobbly.
And of course, Paddy is aware of this condition. He's aware that his brother Rory passed away at 13. You must have difficult conversations with Paddy about that. How do you, because it's the two of you trying to navigate through this at home together. How's that working out?
It can be difficult.
How aware is he?
He's well aware. All the professionals have spoken to him about his diagnosis to him. Now, we had hope in October when things were really, really down, when Rory's passing, that this Skyclary drug that can basically slow his progress, progressive 50%. His neurologist said that he should be getting that after Christmas, so that gave us a little bit of hope, and it gave Paddy a bit of hope as well. But now the government have they're very slow to reimburse Skyclary for this drug, and it's not just Paddy. There's 200 in Ireland that have Friedreich's ataxia.
Okay, so let me just be very clear, because you've touched on this now. There is a drug called Skyclary. And that slows the progression of the disease by up to 50%. There are 200 people in Ireland living with Friedreich's ataxia. And this is a life changer. It's a game changer. It's the silver chalice, if you like.
Correct. And it has been approved in USA and in Europe.
What is the issue with the Department of Health?
I don't know, Neil.
What's the procedure here? How do you get Skyclary? Is it something that's prescribed by your GP, or is it in a hospital setting? Who has to pay for it?
It's a tablet that you take once a day. It's basically a tablet you take once a day, and. Look, they're saying it's over 100,000 a year for this drug for one person. But is it about money, or is it about someone to have a life?
So a tablet a day to keep somebody alive for longer is being denied because of the cost of it.
Well, that's what I'm putting it down to, because there's other countries that are using it. They're using it in Australia, Europe. A lot of countries in Europe are using this. UK, Australia, Canada. People that have significantly improved.
And has anybody officially come back to you and rejected or said no to your application?
No.
Okay. So how do you know? How do you know that the government and the HSE won't reimburse?
Because it was just before Christmas, we got. I have a note here somewhere.
Okay. Take your time. It's important. Take your time.
So a report from the National Centre from the Pharma Economics NCPE recommended against reimbursing this drug. However, a final decision has not been made.
Okay.
Now, Neil, every day.
When was that? When was that, Craig?
That was just before Christmas.
And this is now the middle to the back end of April.
Yes.
Every single minute, every single day, every single week matters. Right.
Yes, the school now rang me the other day, the Butterburn Secondary School. They've been fantastic with Paddy. They phoned me to say that, and this is the first, because they do get tired, fatigue, that he wants to have a sleep in school.
Oh, no. These are not the kind of stories that you want to hear back.
No. Like, everything's been taken away from him. He doesn't hang with his friends anymore. He just kind of closed himself up. He used to love soccer. He played for Mallow Town. Loved soccer. Lived for it. And I never saw the boy cried when they told him you can no longer play soccer. I never saw him crying so much. It just completely changed his life. And that was when he was 11 years of age. Yeah.
So you are seeing, of course, on maybe a weekly basis, the slow progression of the disease, where more things that he could do, your beautiful son, can't do anymore.
Correct.
I want to have a little sleep, is what Paddy said.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
And it's hard when you no longer can write. Things are disappearing from him. It's quite hard to be there to see that, see the suffering. It's just a drug. They really need to get in touch with Irish people, and they're spending money on other silly things like this, which really annoyed me. This bike shed above in Dublin, it's just ridiculous.
It's the people that matter. It's the people that matter, and their welfare that matters more than anything else. More than anything. More than even the talk about a Cork Lewis. More than anything to talk about an event centre. No, all of these things do not matter in the greater scheme of things. Okay, they're nice, absolutely, make life better. But it's people that matter. And your son is only 15 years old. Are they aware that his brother Rory passed away of the same condition 7 months ago? Do they know all of this?
Probably not.
Gotta make it known. Have you been on to TDs? Have you tried to doorstep in any way, shape, or form Jennifer Carroll McNeill, the Minister for Health?
No, I haven't been on to, I haven't specifically myself sent her a letter, but I have been on to Michael Moynihan. I know, to be fair, the Minister, he's been very good to me because I live near Kanturk. He has been helpful. With other things. I wasn't there back a month in Leinster House. They have been up there, Frederick's Taxi, and there was speeches and begging to the ministers up there, but it just seems to have fallen on deaf ears. There was a 28-year-old, and my heart went out to him, Luke. Basically begging the government to give us this drug so he can have a better quality of life. Like, the drug is there, Neil. The drug is there.
And they've said no, but we will look at it again.
Yes.
But
yes.
Time is of the essence here. That's a very cold, unkind, uncaring thing to do. To long finger people.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Hold on a second, Craig. I want to take a break. Text 0868104106. It's an appalling example, really, isn't it, of when they say that there's so much money around, firstly on how it's spent, and secondly, when people are desperate to get it. And we're talking about people of all ages, but in this scenario, this is particularly harrowing.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
In conversation with Craig Cody. Craig, somebody... different things come into my head, certainly regarding Paddy. Does Paddy have conversations with you about where he's at in life and the progression of it? Is he scared? Is he worried?
Yes, of course he's scared. Yes, he is scared, Neil. He did tell me, if I go to bed, will I wake up in the morning? No. To be fair to Terry Prendeville, he's a top guy in Dublin Crumlin Hospital. Basically, when Rory passed, there was obviously blood still stored, so they sent him over to UK. They thought it mightn't have been Frederick's ataxia, so they looked at other genetics in the heart, but everything came back. His heart was fine, so they put it down to Frederick's ataxia.
Oh, listen, I'm quite sure that everybody in the medical setting did their very best and are doing their very best.
And to be fair, they put, sorry for butting in.
They put
for his own peace of mind and my peace of mind, because obviously I wasn't sleeping when Rory passed. I was going up into his room every night to make sure that Paddy was still breathing. And so they put a defibrillator into Paddy's heart. So when the heart does stop, if it does stop, this box will give electric volts back in, into his heart. So yeah, we're at peace with that.
So Rory's heart stopped and he died in his sleep.
Two
brave lads.
And the results came back that it's very rare. It has happened to a 5-year-old and kids before, this with the Friedreich's ataxia, with the heart, yes.
Okay. Do you mind me asking, is Friedreich's ataxia inherited from either our father or mother?
It's just from bad luck. It's just really, really bad luck. Just two bad genes meeting.
You and your beautiful wife?
Yes.
And do you ever ponder as to why life would be so cruel to a family like yours? One son passed away, another son very, very unwell, and your wife, Delia, with advanced Huntington's?
Every day I say to myself, hey, what have I done wrong? What did I upset someone, or was I cursed? Because, yeah, I am carrying a heavy cross. But, you know, I'm just like any other man out there, you know, after college, just went to work, my own business, just got on with it, built a lovely house in the countryside with my family. Della was a nurse herself, and the Windmill Nursing Home in Churchtown, looking after elderly people. You know, everything was fine until just changed overnight, really. Yeah. And try and get through COVID with Della when she was diagnosed as well. It was really, really hard. It was really hard. And then a year and a half after, then the news came out about Paddy, Frederick's ataxia, and then Rory.
And then Rory passes away at 13. Are you afraid of being left alone?
Of course I am. He's all I've left. He's all I've left. Sorry.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm just begging the government to kiss my son and the patients with Frederick. Just give it to them. Just, you know.
Help us.
Help, of course.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing, exactly, you know. Why does everything have to be so difficult?
So cold, so cruel, so calculated that with the flick of a mouse or a flick of a pen, it's out of reach. What would make all the difference? For Paddy, give him a longer life. Slow down the progression. It's not a cure, for God's sake. It's not even a cure. It's just to give him more time.
Correct. Yes. And you know, it'll come a stage that he'll be gone too far. That there'd be no point to give him the drug.
Days and weeks matter, don't they? Never mind months or years.
Yes. Well, correct. As I said to you, you know, this was a new thing. He wanted to have a sleep in school.
Yeah.
You know, and for the school to ring me to say that to me.
Forgive me now, Craig, but has he been given a timeline, like as to how long this? No.
No. Okay. No. No. No.
Okay.
No.
That's probably a good thing.
To be honest, Neil, I don't really Google all that stuff.
Yeah. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
Correct. It's one day at a time, Neil. That's all I can do. Just focus on today.
Well, you're an amazing man that you can focus on the now and keep it together. It's you're incredible. You're an incredible father and husband. You know, you really are, because you've been dealt the worst blow. I don't know where you get the strength, but you do get the strength. Maybe it just kicks in because it's fight or flight, and you're fighting. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yep.
Many texts. Text 0868104106. God love that family. That says it all to me, actually. God love that family. I think this conversation with me this morning could make a difference, Craig, because we're going to work on this really hard, right? And we're going to do the very best we can. And we're not going to let this one go. This needs to be talked about in the floor of the Dáil. And we need somebody, probably would be in opposition, to tell this story on their feet in Dáil Éireann, right across to the Minister for Health. And I'm quite sure the Minister for Health has a heart and is a family person herself, and may not be aware of, you know, tragic stories like you, yours and your family's. And we need to make them aware of that, okay? It's really, okay. It's really important that they know about the actual details of the life that you are living as a family and those that have already gone, including your beautiful son, Rory, and also about your wife, Della, and the potential change in Paddy's life if he can get this drug and do the right thing and provide it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to get on this. We're going to share it. I'm going to encourage lots. I'm going to encourage other media, other radio and television, everybody to get behind this for you and the 200 others. But of course, you've lit the fuse on this, if you like. You know, you've shone light into it, and I want to thank you for that. So we're going to share it very much with media colleagues and ask them also to get involved in this and fight the good fight on behalf of all of those suffering. But particularly, you know, I know you're talking about everybody else, but what's very close to your heart is your son Paddy having lost Rory. Isn't that the case? That's the case.
Of course, he's all I've left.
He's all you have left. Okay. Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry that if it was any part of upsetting you this morning.
Not at all. Look, Neil, I'm still grieving over Rory as well. So, and, you know, I'm trying to fight to get the stroke for him. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's all be part of this fight, all right? Let's all be part of this fight.
Thank you.
And let's see what we can do to make a difference, you know. And let's get everybody else involved in this, listening as well. You know, push it on social. Get behind this. And get your son, Paddy, what he needs and deserves and is entitled to, you know.
Thank you.
All right.
Really appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. So okay. Okay. We'll stay in touch, all right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Take care for now.
Thank you.
And to Paddy and your beautiful wife, Della. And may your son, Rory, rest in peace. Back after 10, text 0868 104 106. I would love your thoughts on this.